Good morning, my family. Hey, if you have your Bibles, you can open it up to the book of Matthew. Matthew is like, where's Matthew? Old Testament or New Testament? Yeah, is it the first book in the New Testament or the last book in the New Testament? Yeah, you guys are smart. Hey, one more thing I'd like to ask of all of you. For you here, and for those of you who are part of this church and who is watching online, by the beginning of this next year, 2022, I really, really want to get our children and youth up and running. Because if we don't get our children and youth learning about God now, the devil would be taking a whole generation away, not knowing Christ. So I need you to just step up one Sunday a month for children and youth. One Sunday a month. We'll give you the lessons ahead of time to teach. Just one Sunday a month so that you guys are not there all four Sundays. Just one Sunday a month to teach our children. And if you believe that this is a good investment, I ask you to stand and see Jennifer with the two snowmen on her head. That I was looking at those two snowmen bobbling during worship, and I was thinking like, wow, this would be good target practice. But I'm not a good shot, so she'd be in trouble. So come see Jennifer right after service, because we want to get you equipped now so that come January 1st, we can be up and running, because our children are important. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! Yes. All right, so this week and next week, we're going to be looking at the Great Commission. Yay. Yeah, anybody know what the Great Commission is? Sure, yeah. Look at that, the breeze. Somebody was complaining it was hot because God is cooling you off. Yeah, not the Great Omission, but the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, so if you're there, Matthew 28, starting in verse 19, it's like the ending of Matthew. Starting in verse 19, Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Before Jesus leaves, he gives us instructions. First thing he says is to
go.
And whenever he says go, what does it mean?
Go.
Yeah! Go means go. When the green light flashes on, go. Some guys still need to learn that because they don't go. They're slow. And I'm behind them always. Doesn't mean stop. Doesn't mean yield. Doesn't mean wait. It simply means go. In Romans 10, 14 and 15, we just read this in our devotions just the other week. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? They're talking about Jesus. How would they believe in him whom they have not heard? Again, talking about Jesus. And how will they hear without a preacher? That's you guys. How would they preach unless they are sent? Again, that's you guys. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. Look at your feet. Beautiful. I don't care if you got one pedicure or not. And I don't care if you get dirt under your toenails, what? Beautiful. He says that we are to go and we are to tell them. Because that's what our assignment is. in Luke 10:1, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going. I think we got 70 people here. Easy, we got 70 people here. 75. Well, we can get one oddball then, because everybody goes in pairs. He sent them out in pairs. And he said, go. You know, sending them out, telling them about Jesus. And what happened when they went? When they returned in Luke 10:17, the 70 returned with joy. You should imagine, they went out to do what the Lord sent them to do. Hard work, guarantee. You know, you ever share Jesus with somebody? It's not. Sometimes it's kind of shaky, spooky, you might say, because we all don't like rejection. But I had people say no. I had people in the hospital asking, "You want me to pray for you since I'm here?" Flat out, no. And I knew the person, and I was like, "Wow, sad." But they returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Wow. They were obedient. They went and they experienced great power, some miraculous signs. And I believe that when we are obedient and we go, great things will happen. People, I mean, this is the greatest thing. People will get saved. I mean, you will come across people when you ask them, would you want to receive Jesus? Pretty much, that's all you gotta say. You don't have to try and sugarcoat it. Oh, I got this special gift for you this Christmas. And it's like so wonderful. It's wrapped up in all nice paper. And man, I cannot wait to see you open it. I mean, you can, but I'm sorry, I'm not that elegant with words. I've just come to the point where, hey, would you like to receive Jesus? It's nothing fancy, you just say yes or no. If you say yes, then we'll pray right then. If you say no, then I say, well, thank you very much. Seed is planted, somebody else can come water them. If they say not now, then okay, I'll check you out later. But when we are obedient, wow, when you say to someone, would you like to receive Jesus? And they say yes, wow. Man, that is, the feeling is just like, I think that's why the 70 returned with joy, saying how the great things that happened. In Acts 8:26, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Philip was one of the 12. Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. It's a desert road. So he got up and he went, because God told him to go. So he got up and went. Well, sometimes when God tells us to go, how many of you, I'm making my coffee right now. Kind of busy. Oh, my schedule is full today. I'm booked up solid. You know, I got Facebook 2 hours, sports another 2 hours. Yeah. I'm texting everybody another 3 hours. Well, I'm booked, I'm sorry. Philip was one of these guys, and he said, go. And so he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, an official, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. So God tells Philip to go. So he went. And he hears this guy reading from Isaiah. And he goes up to this guy's chariot. And he asks, you understand what you're reading? And the guy said, how can I? I need somebody to explain this stuff to me. So, man, what a great opportunity. So Philip went. And he went and he seen this guy. And he explained to him what he was reading. And then I guess that guy who was reading, this Ethiopian, is like, oh, I got it now. Then he asked Philip, hey, what is preventing me from getting baptized? There's some water right there. Well, there's plenty of water here today, you know. And so Philip baptized him, came out of the water, then boom, Philip got poof, and he got carried to someplace else. It must have been like, whoa, where am I now? He went. And now, you know, this Ethiopian got saved and he took this good news back to Ethiopia. In Acts 1:8, we read about Saul. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, who was Stephen. Remember Stephen? Not you, Stephen. You too valuable. But Stephen was like the first martyr, and they were throwing rocks at him, because we were in Pune. And Saul held the jackets of everybody so they can get loose and grab bigger rocks, maybe. And on that day, great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So persecution started here. And because of Saul persecuting all of the Christians, except for the disciples, all these Christians were like, oh man, this guy Saul is coming after us. So what did they do? They went dig. They ever was afraid of something? And went dig. When I was in high school, I brought home my report card. Had 4 F's. Plenty of potential, yeah, I had. And 2 D's. Oh, I had so much potential. And I wish my parents would explain potential to me back then. But they said, wait till you get home, you're going to get it. I grabbed my clothes and I went dig. Persecution happened. And these Christians, they were scattered throughout the region. They ran away. This was my thinking. God probably told them to go, but they never let go. But it's my house. I'm comfortable here. You telling me go someplace else? I don't like go. Okay, we'll figure something out. Bust out the persecution stick. Now we're going. They went dig. And because they went scatter, wow, the gospel went spread through all these places. Think about that. If you're not listening to God by going, what is he going to do to cause you to go? I don't want to find out, and I don't want you to find out, because I love all you guys. I don't like to see you guys get sent to Guam, or I know some of you would like to go to New York. Yeah? Scatter me. I want to go to New York or Las Vegas. No, I want to see you here. So before God moves you in such a way, if he's telling you to go someplace around here, then just go. So he says go. Next word is therefore. And we know when the word in the Bible says therefore, it is therefore a reason, right? So whenever you read the Bible, and I bet you there's a whole bunch of therefores in there, understand that it's there for a reason. Maybe to teach us, maybe to challenge us, maybe to motivate us, maybe to correct us. Jesus said in Mark 1:17, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Yeah? So it's there for a reason. You know, the word therefore is there for us to learn. Jesus tells us clearly that we will be fishers of men. I mean, if you understand fishing, which a lot of us do, if you wanted to catch a fish, you would need the right equipment, right? You cannot catch a fish with this. Seriously, I went down to the beach and tried catching fish with this. I have the wrong equipment. Now, if you wanted to catch Menpachi, right? You're not going to go to Wailua, even if James tells you that's where he caught it. Right, James? Because I think he told somebody that, and they actually went there. And it's like, poor fella. If you want to catch Menpachi, you're not going to go to Wailua, no matter what equipment you have. Now, once you determine what you need and what kind of fish you want, then you can figure out what kind of equipment you want. You're not going to catch fish on Saddle Road, because unless somebody drives by and throws you a fish and you actually catch it, then you're not. Now, if you, Jesus tells us, go, therefore, you know? And I really believe he said that because, you know, if we're not going to catch anybody sitting on our couch. So we got to figure out where the fish, the men that God tells us to go catch, where are they at? Are they at my workplace? Not really, because at my workplace, everybody is saved because I work for a church and the church office. So sometimes I got to go out into the marketplace and go to all my old workplaces to find unsaved people so I can share. You know, we need to go where the fish is, right? So if you go fishing, James went fishing in Hilo the other week, last week Sunday. He said, never again. There's nothing to catch out in the fish in the ocean where he was. Maybe he was using the wrong bait. But that's rare because James is an excellent fisherman. So we need to figure out what kind of fish and where we're going to go catch it. In Romans 15:4, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions, so that perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We get to use that kind of bait, the bait of the scripture. To tell, you know, because a lot of guys, they're just like, they don't know. They're, like I said last week, they're wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. We have this hope, and we get to use that for bait. You know, where we're going to fish. The scriptures are there for a reason, to equip us, to give us hope, so that we can share it with others. So we got to take this gospel, and we got to become fishers of men, right? Like some of you, like say Frank, he works for the school. That's his fish pond. Now, if I go fish in his fish pond, I might not be relevant because school and me don't get along. I had a hard time in school. You know, some of you who work at different places, you know, like his doctor's office. I mean, that's not my fishing ground because I don't know people there, but he knows his patients and the people in his office. That might be his fishing ground. Where's your fishing ground? Is it where you work? Is it where you play? How many of you go to the gym? Nobody. Oh, we got one guy. One guy. Sometime. That might be your fishing ground. While you lifting weights with somebody. See, you guys are unhealthy. You guys better make some resolutions next year. You know what the Bible says? Who you are is who you attract. Man, what am I attracting? Non-exercising, non-salad-eating people. I hope not. Maybe I got to change to exercising and eat salad. So, but oh my, if we did that, we'd be looking in the mirrors all day. Yeah. So, we got to go fishing. Your fishing ground is different from mine. That's why we're all different. We're not all the same. Each person is different. As the body of Christ to reach different people. Amen? So we got to say, go therefore, and now it says, make disciples. In John 15:16, John 15 is a great chapter. You got to read it. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would again receive the word, go. and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Okay, Lord, you see that, and before you, Lord, I need Sunday school teachers. So speak to these people now. Jesus appointed us, called us, equipped us. When he ascended into heaven, guess what? We became him. We became his body. That's why we're called the body of? Yes. And we get to continue his work. Saving souls, and then discipling them, and then sending them out again. It's a process. 2 Timothy 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who would be able to teach others also. Okay, so we read, we learn, we go discipleship classes, we go Bible studies, we take this and we teach it to others. It'd be so sad that we just take it in and we left it in here and that would be it, right? You know the Dead Sea, you know why it's dead, right? Because it has no outlet. Everything just goes in and it goes in and it goes in and it doesn't feed anything else. There's so much minerals in there that it's nothing can live. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. So now if we were to practice this and become a disciple-making church, I disciple two, then those two disciple two, then those two disciple two. Go do the math, because I don't like math. Math don't like me. Scott's a math teacher. Go ask him. It's like what they call the law of multiplication. Now, if we did that, man, we'd transform our communities. So it says, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Doesn't say just some. Go make disciples at your workplace only, or your neighborhood, or where you shop, or where you eat. God bless you. It says all. Everywhere you go, look with eyes of Christ. Look for opportunities. Look for places where you can say, hey, you look like you need a prayer. Can I pray for you? That's all you got. And if they say no, well, that's okay. Because people will say no. Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, then the end will come. Jesus says before he returns, the good news of the kingdom, the message of salvation will be preached throughout the world. So you want him to come back sooner, then go take the message out there to all the nations, because this got to happen first. Now you may think, how can I do this in, you know, like Hawaii? We're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. There's like, and you know, the only thing I can think of, it would be like God to use this little state to change the world. That way God can say, that was me. Wasn't us. Because we're in this little tiny state. You look on the map, where's Hawaii? If you don't know where Hawaii is on the map, you miss it. Because it's a little dot. And wouldn't it be like God to use the smallest place in the world to save the world? Like how he used Gideon, and how he used the least, like David, the youngest, to show his power. But that's what I believe. And with the internet, we can do many things. By the way, you know the person that God sends you to? Wouldn't it be cool if God sent you to somebody, they said yes, they were on fire for the Lord, and they turned out to be somebody like Reverend Billy Graham. It's like, well, then you could say like, oh, I want to share the good news with that guy. Woo, kind of prideful, but that would be so cool. I said, wow, the guy came out of my church who went to share the news with that guy, who went to share the news with that guy, and so on and so forth. But wouldn't it be cool? You know, all nations, everybody. You know, we will send Jennifer and Christy. Okay, you guys cover Macy's, TJ Maxx, Ross's, all right? James, Scott, you guys get Jihara, Tokunaga's. I take care of the restaurants. But that's the all nations, right? Not just where you like go. The kind of spooky thing is sometimes when I walk into Macy's with my wife, they say, hi, Christy. Oh my gosh, they know her name. Wow, and my wife is smart, you know. She married me. She's so smart. When I took her shopping at Target the other night, head to the checkout, I gotta use the restroom. Smart! Wow! She's smart. Not only she married me, but she know how to get me to pay the bills. Smart. The point is, we cannot exclude anyone. The gospel is for everyone to hear. Not just who we, you know, who we choose. Because sometimes we want to share the gospel with the nicest looking, the most respectful, good behaving person that we know. But in fact, the gospel is for the worst behaving, backstabbing, I cannot swear, so you know what I mean, right? The guy who took credit for your idea and stabbed you in the back, the guy who stole your lunch out of the lunchroom icebox, right? The guy who cut you off in traffic, that's really the guys we really want to get saved. And there is always a starting point for making disciples. We cannot make a disciple of someone who's not a believer. So the first thing we need to do is go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. And we're going to continue this next week. Share your story, your testimony. Why do I always say share your testimony? Your testimony is not wrong. It's your story. Just tell them your story. Tell them where you've been, where you are. Hey, don't be like our fishermen. We can exaggerate so much. The fish that actually we caught was this big, but by the time we get our story, it's like, you know, just tell them the truth. Hey, I was down and out. I had no hope. And, you know, I found Jesus. Turned my life around. Simple. Do it in 2 or 3 minutes. And your story is not wrong because it's your story. Right? So, you know, you gotta go out there and you gotta keep casting your lines because sometimes you might not get one bite on the first cast. How many of you ever, you know, you cast your first cast, nothing bite, you pack up and you go home? Yeah? How many of you cast your first cast, nothing bite, so you open the cooler and then you have a beverage? Yeah, we have a few honest people here. Now, if I did that, I would come home with no fish. We gotta keep casting our lines out there. Some of them going bite, some of them not. And the ones that bite, that's the ones we need, that need hope. That's the ones we're gonna save. And we bring them here. You hook them, and I clean them. Actually, we hook them, and God clean them. Yeah, let's go. Why are you guys still sitting down? just kidding. Yeah, we're going to take communion, that's why. So, next week we're going to continue with the next part of the Great Commission. So I'd like you to all know, this is the great, found in Matthew 28, that's the Great Commission. We're going to continue. in verse 20 next week, and we're going to go through all these things and looking at what it tells us to do. Everybody got their communion things? Who never get their communion things? Somebody raise your hand. Okay, back there. Right there, Christy, in the back. Get like 20 people who came late. That's why they never came. Just kidding. All right, Pastor Aaron, would you welcome the handsomest pastor we got? I cannot wait to hear you speak on the 18th.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, no steal my communion stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad he said that so everybody could get them. But right now, as they're still passing out the communion cups, I'm going to give you a hint, okay? Open up that top layer so that you can get to your wafer real quick. And yeah, because it's very tricky. But you know, when they brought these things in, I thought, man, this is nothing like communion, yeah? Where's the big piece of bread and where's the cup of juice? But then I remember that communion is just a representation of what Jesus did many, many years ago. And it's an outward expression of what we're feeling on the inside that really counts. So this is a really, really good package. And then at the end, when we drink the juice, it'll wake you up real good. But this is our Christmas communion. We do this once a month, usually on the first Sundays of the month. We do this thing called communion. And basically what communion is taking the time out to remember all the things, especially Jesus Christ laying down his life for us, all the things that God has done for us in our lives. And we may not think of it as a Christmas thing, but absolutely it is, because this is the point in which Jesus came. He was sent. He came and he said, you know, this is to remember that I died for you. But this time, this season, remember also that I lived for you. Amen. And that's what we get to do right now. So if you would, take the wafer with me and just hold it up. And it says that on that night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he handed it out. And he said, this is my body that will be broken for you. Take and eat. And this is the important part now. In remembrance of me. Let's take of the bread. And then it says, in the same manner, he took the cup and he poured some out. And he said, this is my blood that is poured out, the ransom of your sins. Let's drink of the cup. And as I welcome the worship team up, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, indeed, we thank you for this opportunity that we just get to remember your love, that you chose to live for us, Lord, and then chose to die for us so that we could spend eternity with you. Lord, especially in this season where we get busy, where we get overwhelmed with things by our own accord, Lord, give us times where we just stop and remember you and how much you love us and how good you are. Indeed, Father, you're a good God. We just thank you and we praise you. Thank you for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, what a precious time it is to be able to take communion, to be united in a holy marriage with the creator of the universe. All right? So as we end service today, let us get up and just head out on our week with a just glorious praise and shout to the Lord. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Glory to the new